Hello, this is Evan Gardner. Where Are Your Keys? Podcast number 42. Fairies will die. This is war. Language revitalization is not something that happens in a pretty laboratory, in a beautiful, pristine setting. It's a battleground. There's fairies that get killed. It just happens. It's like friendly fire. There's nothing we can do about it except hopefully have a better setup so that not as many fairies die as could have. In this episode, we're going to talk a lot about what community issues are coming up and how this language is on the Warm Springs Reservation having a difficult time living. How can we produce different techniques, and how can we use Where Are Your Keys techniques to not only get the language healthy, but get the community into a position where once the language is going, the language can live in a community that's also healthy. In this episode, we're going to talk about accent. David and I are going to get into a conversation about his Mandarin accent and my Chinook accent, really impacting Numu. We are getting our new Numu ears on. We're going to talk about Teach It Off, about handing off the facilitation role to the students. And we're going to talk about the technique Fish Out of Water or Beijing Panda, trying to build an environment that the language can live in once we get the language rocking. We're also going to talk about hunting licenses. So one of the issues that we're having is trying to figure out how to show the kids how to hunt language and how to pull language out of other speakers. And so we noticed that one of the things that they were sort of doing was not necessarily having a plan together when they went to go hunt some language. So we developed the technique hunting license, which is kind of exciting. You have to have a license to hunt, Grandma. And the other techniques that we're going to talk about are bucket brigades, technique sportscaster, doing rounds like a doctor with a clipboard, looking at how the patient is doing, and a really wonderful technique from David Edwards. A lot of times people say, oh, I'm not good at languages, or oh, I'm not young enough, or oh, I'm not smart enough. And he came up with a way of saying, this looks fast and this looks easy because I'm a veteran. I'm not a genius. And the counterpart to that is, you're not an idiot, you're a novice. So sit back, enjoy the continuing saga of the Where Are Your Keys Summer Institute of Play in Madras, Oregon, and the Confederate Tribes of Warm Springs, Oregon, and Numu, Northern Paiute language.
You, every time you said it, I thought you were crazy, because you had this really heavy Mino, and I would listen to Shirley and be like, that is not what she's saying. She's saying Mino. There's not even a consonant there. But then you said, no, there is. There's a small consonant. But when you said it wasn't a small consonant, it was like Mino, and it didn't even sound like the same word to me. And so then I had to start really listening to what she was saying. And then on the other side...
And what do you think? What's your current pronunciation? What's your best guess?
Mino.
Interesting.
Mino.
Oh, Mino. Okay. Yeah.
And, like, with the Duga versus Dugur thing, there's my Chinese next to them, but, like, I remember the first time she tried to show us that those words were different, and I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that final vowel is different, because Chinese has this vowel A and this vowel R, and so I heard them, and I was like, oh, yeah, the vowel is different, but then you were listening, and you were like, no, the vowels are the same, it's the G. The G is like a G, and then the other time it's a G, and I was like, that sounded exactly the same. But you could hear that difference, and I couldn't.
Well, and I listened to it again today, and it's actually both now, where it's, because it's Duka, with like, and then Duka. So it's Duka with the G. And then it's Duka.
Duka. Huh.
And that's that why I say Minoch, is because that's a Chinookan sound. That's not totally not a Spanish sound. But when you're hearing Minoch, Chinookan words don't end in that. If they end in anything, it's a ch, and there's a ton of them that end in ch. You've never ended a wall of word in. But it's close enough. It's like close enough to mumble through it so that when we do get in front of Shirley, then, you know, we sound like we have these really weird accents. But they're weird accents and not, well, you don't have any idea how to communicate with me. You know, even talking to a taxi driver in New York who has a thick accent, you still get there. Yes, yeah, so I wish that there was, I mean, I wish there was a way to suddenly, instantly get Numu ears.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't.
African magically?
Yeah. But that's the cool thing about little kids is that that's what, they don't have, it's not that they learn faster.
They just don't have a rut.
Yeah.
They don't have a rut to get out of.
Mm-hmm. And they're not worried about the rut that they're in.
True.
So if they heard your thick Chinese accent and my super thick Spanish accent, they wouldn't necessarily care. It wouldn't strike them as strange.
It's really interesting because John, when he's called out, it's like he... Because, I mean, he didn't treat you any different. He even mentioned it in Plus Deltas. His thing was avoid the meadow.
Yeah.
That was his thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my bad, dude.
Totally. And the other day, his thing to me was, I need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to eat tomorrow. I'm going to bring in food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's hearing it, and it's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They're all hearing us.
Right. So my thing is as facilitators, we need to figure it out. And try it. And to me, like, and I know I keep beating this, and I know the answer I always get back is, like, we don't have a lot of time. You know, but to include them, if we really are training them to save their language, if we're coming across it, they're going to come across it. I mean, I was really trying to think how to say this, like, or, you know, because I'm just like,
well,
you know, are we saving the language or are we saving the community?
But then, I mean, I think it goes back to the language teachers comes before language hunters, you know?
Oh,
if,
right.
if we really focused on language hunting, then we just... be creating like language collectors.
Right.
That term, you know?
Right.
I think it's more important that they know how to teach what they do know now or what they will learn this summer off to other people, to other children, to other adults, whoever, and get a feel for the techniques. And then they will find holes in the language that they would want to go and come later.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll have like an idea of a bite-sized piece. They'll really understand the bite-sized piece and go to Shirley and say, well, you know, like, how do you say this version of want, or can I stack these words together this way? More so than I'm just, you know, shoot the kill.
So I didn't hear the answer when he asked that. I don't know where I went, but he said, are we, what did you ask him? Are we creating?
What comes first, language hunter or the language teacher?
Right. What did you say?
Teacher. As soon as we can, teach them just enough so that, like, lesson one, they have to start teaching.
Okay.
Because just like with David Edwards, you know, hunting the where today, they're not going to get there in time. By in time, I mean, what they need as quickly as possible is to feel like they can converse in the language.
Okay.
And the things that you got today are some of the last key pieces of being able to converse in the language. Now, that's one issue. So that they're able to feel like they're having successful language acquisition.
Yeah, okay.
Which is going to keep them coming back because it's not in one of these classes like, I studied for 8 years and I can't speak Jack. I'm never learning again.
Right.
Or I studied for 8 minutes and I can't. Like, people have different thresholds of pain. But if we teach them one thing, like the three cup game, Ishimashu, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And theoretically, the best thing would be to say, we are not going to teach you anything until you teach somebody else Ishimashi Ushu.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the theoretically the best way to deal with it.
Have a little card that they have to sign, have people sign that they taught them Ishimashi Ushu.
Yep.
That would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do that now.
Yeah, it's not a bad move. Like, it's theoretical, but that's, if I had my druthers, that's exactly what I would do. And I would actually say that you have to teach 5 people every round so that you have it absolutely down. And really, I would want to teach... Okay, so if I had a perfect world and somebody said, here's $1 million, do whatever you need to do, I would say, I'm going to teach David Edwards the Ishimashi Ushu game. He cannot learn another piece until he is satisfied that Sky... So none of you have ever taken any language before.
Mm-hmm.
I do not teach him another piece until Sky can teach April Ishimashi Ushu. So that means that he has to have taught Sky how to teach you. Really, how to teach somebody else.
And, I mean, I don't know if I missed the mission or vision of what we're doing, you know, because, like, 5 weeks in and we're asking, are we creating hunters or teachers? And so, and with that, like...
Like, why are we having this conversation now? So late into it?
No, well, kind of, but, you know, the whole thing, like, are we saving the language, are we saving the community? You know, because we've had this discussion before. So, are these kids going to duplicate what we have done, or are they just going to take our nicely packaged rides and hopefully continue, and they're not going to be in a setting that we're in now? I mean, are we teaching them how to do this again? I mean, because that's kind of what I was thinking, was that's what we were doing, and so that's why we're teaching them facilitation skills.
You want to answer that?
I know it seems like... I'm really for just like pushing the whole teacher angle of it. Like, one, because I think... I don't know if that's another way or Key's dirty little secret, but the better language teacher you are, the better language hunter you'll be. I mean, it's like... Yes, they'll have these rides that we all made together, and one, they'll know how to make new rides, they'll know how to limit and how to set up, and in turn, like, once they do find holes in the language that they have, or places where they see it going, they can go and ask Shirley, because they have had their toes wet with that,
mm-hmm.
and they can in turn make new rides, because that's what they know how to do.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And the kids.
Shut up.
Yeah, I hope that they know how to take the rides that we've already got packaged and keep them going and build new ones as they come up. Are we teaching them how to build rides? Yeah. Are they very good at it? Not at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will be in 3 weeks. Extreme Haga. It's a perfect example.
Right.
John's 3-pencil game. Great example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to. A lot of times he'll just kind of freeze up, and then I'll have to set up for him, or he'll get Walter to set up for him. But as soon as they wanted to do those pencils, I was like, John, go.
Boom. But I think that by showing them these facilitation skills, and that, it's really opening the door pretty wide.
It's like up to them whether like what they want to do with that. It's like we've reached that point, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't explain this at the beginning. We couldn't explain what we were doing. They just had to see it, and now that they see it, do they want to take advantage of it or not?
I mean, even just like talking to Walter for a little bit, or talking to John for a little bit about going through the games or what we just pulled, and like today, well, can you say, you know, this and that? Can we put these words together? And it was like, huh, I don't know, you know. And like try experimenting with that, and just, you know, you came along. It was like, well, now you have something to hunt Shirley, and you know, it's like that's basically it's like what you do, you know. As far as like trying to pull a new language, I mean, certainly like learning from you, like Chinook, you know, just trying not to kill fairies or get too much into a discussion about what I just learned, but it's part of the process.
Fairies will die. This is war.
cheesy go?
War games.
So.
And something I'm really hopeful now is that we can start pulling the kids into the facilitation part of what we're doing. Like, I know we're having a lot of these sort of backdoor conversations, mm-hmm. and I would like it if we didn't have to.
What do you mean? Like, us having backdoor conversations?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we're kind of sneaking out into the hall, and we're like, okay, here's what's going down. Blah, 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 blah. What are we going to do? I don't know.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm... That's what prompted my question, is... Because these orgs do take time, and I'm really glad that you guys, you know, have found, like, merit in them, because... You know, we saw the result of the Courtney thing, which she could have still been totally pissed off to this day, just like she's still pissed off at Capri to this day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we know that she can hold a grudge like anyone else. And so that's kind of like, you know, because, you know, in the fellowship, like, I was doubtful of the tools working. You know, until I kind of, we tried a couple in our, you know, I was really scared to try them in our little office. But then when we got a positive result from them, I was like, oh my God, maybe this can work. Seeing them work here is giving me, like, more hope that, yeah, maybe these people at the fellowship are onto something and that communities can change bit by bit. And, you know, sitting there doing the org with James and Courtney, and they were talking about, like, because it's crazy. It's like magic. It's like they don't understand that, like, you know, when I was talking to them about our little, you know, our community and how close we've gotten, and that's when they started talking about, again, you know, she's like, yeah, James didn't talk to me all year, and now we're, like, best friends. And then they start talking about the annex, about how, like, the annex has a really bad reputation about them going there. And I was like, well, look at you guys now. You know, like, you're turning that around. You know, like... Oh, because I was like, you guys could take this, what we've done, and do it anywhere. I was like, the reason you guys got so close is because we established a safe environment with the group agreements, with the plus deltas, with these orids that we're doing right now. I was like, that's why it's so important for me, for you know, for that. I was like, that's why, like, I got so bummed out when that aura didn't happen today. You know, because I'm like, we have a family, and our family's getting dysfunctional, and nobody wants to deal with it.
Well, does that answer your first question, though, about, like, what we're doing? Like, what the goal is?
Yes.
I want to talk about Capri and the experiment with Capri and Courtney.
Well, because I guess what I'm saying ties in. Of course, I'm just going around the long way because I'm tired. I mean, because that's why I asked you. Because I think it's just as important as, like, what you just said. Like, having us talk about this is more important than learning new. And that's kind of how I feel about establishing a safe environment and keeping our family, getting our family back on track, to me, is more important than learning new moves. And, you know, and if I had my vote today, I would have been like, we need to fucking stop everything today and deal with this all day until, you know, like, we're going to lock the door and we're going to...
Drink some Kool-Aid?
Drink some, yeah, shitty-ass Kool-Aid and be like, there's the fucking elephant. Everybody look at the elephant. You know, and this is what makes family sick. And, you know, by pretending like the elephant's not there. And so that's why I asked you, you know, because, and to hear you say, like, that was more important than learning Numu, including them and having them be a part of solving this problem, I think is going to be almost, as, if not more valuable than the hunt today.
I mean, it's kind of like, this is a weird metaphor. You have, like, the last panda on Earth, and it's sick and dying. So you take it to a very good animal hospital, and you spruce it up, life support, the whole best veterinarians ever, and then it's all healthy again, and it's wonderful. And so then you throw it out in the streets of Beijing because there are no forests for it to live in.
Yeah.
And then rapidly, your panda is extinct. Like,
mm-hmm.
Right.
We can't save. Like, we don't have the option of, well, we'll save Numu and then we'll build the community for it later. Like, a language lives in a community. If there's no community, there will be no language.
Right, because, I mean, you know, so if we end the summer and everybody's fighting and they hate each other, mm-hmm. and then so we've created some Numu speakers who don't ever want to fucking talk to each other ever again.
Yeah. And we won't create Numu speakers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the ability or time to get everybody fluent by the end of the summer. So what we have to do is build an environment where they will be continued to become fluent by themselves.
And know how to work with each other.
Yeah. If they can't work with each other, that will never happen.
I am in full support of a couple of things. Like, bringing the kids along on our conversations when we're doing, like, sort of backdoor conversations. I think at first we have to be kind of selective about who we're bringing in to those sort of backdoor conversations. Because I don't think some of the kids are going to be able to handle that. It's going to start a charge. And they're going to get defensive and they're going to start using the information that we're giving them to power their own hate squad. You know, like if we took Capri into our confidence, or if we took Courtney into our confidence, I think that they would just use it against each other at first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think very soon that wouldn't be the case. Especially if we made sure that we brought Courtney and Capri in at the same time. And we're like, you know, we talked frankly kind of as though they weren't even there. So that they could see the kind of conversations that we have.
When me and Leanne did our Orin, I asked her if she would kind of like do a testimony to the group about it. And she said yeah. And like, I totally spaced today that like, I know it's like these little secret words that are happening. And I think, you know, and that's kind of what I was encouraging, like, you know, you to tell, like, share your story about, like, yeah, it wasn't easy for you either, you know?
With Capri?
With,
Courtney. And Doris.
But I think that would be really important for them to hear your experience, too. And even mine, you know, like, what is more important here?
You know, it's kind of like what you know, I walked up on, you know, a long time ago, I walked up on the porch and you were like, but really, Worry Keys is about building communities, not necessarily building languages. And you were just kind of, you know, I was like, really, you guys are having that conversation now? Awesome. And you're like, I was just kind of shooting the shit. I was like, ah. But it's totally true.
No, yeah, I hear you. I totally see that. Everything you guys say about that.
I honestly think that it's so worthwhile to spend whatever time we need to on it. And I think it's important that Shirley and Gerald be in on it too.
Right.
I know that they're going to be, you know, if we do the lock the doors and nobody escapes until this is dealt with, I think they should be in the room with us. So they know that this is the kind of thing that we're doing.
You know, or to be like, you know, we're not leaving until everyone contributes to saving our fucking family. You know? Because this whole cop-out thing doesn't help either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm neutral.
I'm gonna go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, I certainly think that that tomorrow, instigating that, you know, why are you here, and what are you going to do today that's going to help accelerate the learning of Numo?
I think we do have to do that really quickly, though, because we have a hard time with kids having no energy in the mornings,
right.
And we already, like, sit them down and have them sit there for sometimes very lengthy discussion.
Right.
And that was it, yeah. That's another observation I had today. We need to fix that. Like, we bucket everything else. Why can't we, you know? We're losing them at some point. And so, you know, we're saying, like, oh, you know, schools and classrooms could be doing buckets. So why aren't we doing buckets for our lecture part of the thing? Or figuring out exactly what we're going to say, looking at the time and go, Evan, you have exactly... Because we, you know, studies show that, you know, attention spans are about 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
you know, for little kids, and maybe a little bit longer for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a good thing, too, then, for me. you know, to look at the clock, write the time up on the chalkboard, and
let them know this is when we're ending. Uh-huh. So, you know, train your brain.
Yeah.
Because it's important stuff that you're saying, but it's kind of, they're probably sitting there going, "When is this going to end?"
Right. Yeah. And sometimes my thoughts are kind of weaving one into the other. Right. It's sort of setting up the next thing and setting up the next thing. But they're not trained adults who are, you know, sitting through an hour and a half philosophical discussion.
Right.
That's, you know,
a 3-hour class.
Yeah. No.
I hate 3-hour classes.
But again, yeah.
I mean, I just think that really hit home that, you know, they're not adults and there's some things they can't handle, like when they're complaining about sports broadcasts are being too boring, you know, and like this simple stuff is kind of tuned it out. And then we asked them, well, what did you notice during David's hunt, you know, what kind of setups did he use, things like that. I was like, oh, I don't know, I wasn't really paying attention.
That was a great question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Which I think hammers home the point again, what are we missing and why aren't they... But if we're not training them to be hunters, then do the thing where we do, you know, go sick them, David Edwards, go get a bunch of shit and come back. You know, or are we... Because that's kind of what I was saying, is like, we're not doing the thing where we're like training them to see those things. What could be beneficial is to have that laboratory sense, you know, where, you know, you have them sitting around with the clipboards while a patient's getting treated, and the doctor is saying, okay, interns, we're looking exactly for this.
I've totally done that before. I don't know why we haven't done that yet. I've totally done that. Yep. Hand everybody a piece of paper and say what technique is using.
Mm-hmm.
And have them write them down. Totally done that before.
Like, look for the setup, look for when he changes gears, you know, like, exactly when, you know, when did he switch gears, and when did you see him do the Miyagi thing, you know, like, that whole...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's like, no wonder they couldn't answer that question today.
Mm-hmm.
That would help me a ton, too, because then afterwards, if we, you know, then debriefed and talked about it, I could be like, okay, cool, you got that one, here's one you guys didn't catch, this is what I did, and then I could actually talk about it. Because sometimes when it's just going, and I'm kind of like... Do I stop and talk about what's going on here, or do I just try to show them what I think I have?
Right.
And then I don't know what they're to talk or yeah. And it, yeah.
And if they were just writing down, then you wouldn't have to stop your flow. You could just keep barreling through. It would have to be like...
Sprints.
It would have to be sprints. And when you were done, like if the kids were full, then, I mean, it would have to be a... Okay, get outside, run outside, and then run back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could not take a half-hour break there because they would lose it in the meantime.
So I need a refresher on this facilitation tool, and because I was like, how can we do this with buckets? There's got to be a way that we can do this with buckets. And so, like, say we do this thing with the notebook in their laboratory, and then we bust them off into buckets. And then we could have them, okay, now look at your lists,
mm-hmm.
combine, you know, see which ones you guys all have,
mm-hmm.
you know, write them down on another piece of paper or pick the most. And this is one of the things that they would say, okay, I want your most boldest one
right.
or whatever.
Right.
And then you would go around and collect those and then you would put them all up on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be a way that they're still, that now they're discussing in the buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And then yet everyone's voices are getting heard.
That could be, it's too bad we didn't, that would have been awesome to do today, but like,
mm-hmm.
to because we try to model hunting, like we're going to model how to do this,
mm-hmm.
but I think a lot of the times there's just these things going on and they don't know what it is because they aren't really looking,
mm-hmm.
they're just like, ooh, look, they're doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're really doing that, then it would enable us to really kind of show them how the whole process is going.
Can you do that exact thing that you said?
Yeah, I think so. I'll call Linda and have her refresh me and remind me if there's anything else that I missed.
Well, I just by what you said, just right now, I can see in my brain right now, all the kids have a piece of paper and a book that they're writing on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gonna have to have clipboards, but just...
That'd still be fun, though.
That'd be great. random bit of clipboard. Sweet, do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it would add an extra, you know, obviously piece to it. And then,
or even to create some kind of, you know, this is where my whole document thing comes in. It's like having a checkoff thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, out of the, she counted how many? 67 techniques?
Who?
Courtney. When you guys were sitting there, and I was like, count those. And she's like, there's like 40. And I was like, count them. And she counted them. Oh, no, it was, because I was like, oh, she's like, it was 70. And I was like, 40, Courtney. And she's like, I was close. And I'm like, you're off by 30. That's huge.
Yeah, a 100% error ratio. Yeah, we call that statistics bad.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if we could have a checkoff list with, you know, with all those, and then they could just, like... But for now, we can just do, like, things that they see, you know, and then the buckets would work for them to combine things, and then, you know, we'd need the little pieces of paper that they write on with their markers.
Mm-hmm. I have an idea.
Okay.
So, all the kids get clipboards, blank piece of paper, write down all the techniques that you see. They write down techniques as you're somebody, you're doing a hunt. And then, okay, now get into groups of three.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, combine your lists. And I don't know, well, honestly, maybe it's a group of two. Two or three. And then, okay, what three techniques are really standing out for all of you?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, let's limit that first round. What one technique do all of you share in common? And then have that technique, and then they tell you what technique, you write them up on the board. And then you say, okay, in your buckets right now, go on a ride.
Oh, freaking duh.
And then use these techniques. And really hammer these home
in
your setup and make the technique beautifully clear in your setup. Because each of the kids have a ride they can run.
Yeah.
And help each other make it more
interesting
along those lines.
Hence the groups of two.
Or we could just do
that's what I was thinking, is if there were groups of two, then there would be more of them that were running more rides.
Right.
If you have groups of three, they're only going to have three rides happening.
But then you also have what just got... You also have what just got hunted.
No, I would say let that part of it go.
Okay. Just for the sake of...
Right, this is just for the sake of getting into their heads what techniques are.
What if we had all the rides in a bucket and they draw one just to make it faster so they're not like...
Actual bucket. I was like, what?
Oh. Okay, like, or this guy's hat. You know, we put all the things in there and they draw out. Instead of them sitting there going for, you know, however long time going, you know, just be like, here you go, pick it, now go.
I don't think they're there yet. Like, I'm thinking about tomorrow.
But, right, no, I know. But say we do the first, pretty much everyone has, like, at least the first 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
So we put those in a hat.
Oh, okay.
And they draw those. Instead of being like, you know, and then we know that each one of them is doing something different.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
What, you mean like 5 or 7 techniques?
No.
No.
Rides.
Rides, okay.
Yeah. So like Ishimashi Ushu and Nega Umi.
Yeah.
And
well, and that would clear up and actually there's an issue happening now, is that I'm not very confident that all of the kids can run the first 6 games. But after an activity like that, they would all be able to run the games. Mm-hmm. And if you find that there is someone at your table who does not know how to run one of these games, then you need to swap places with somebody at another table.
So, one thing I anticipate happening,
mm-hmm.
Let me run through the process again so I know I heard you right.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hunt.
Yeah.
With, like, you hunting, me
okay.
hunting, one
sure.
of us. Everyone watches,
mm-hmm.
writes down all the techniques they see.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into pairs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they compare technique their lists.
Mm-hmm.
They find a technique that both of them saw.
Mm-hmm.
They name that.
Mm-hmm.
We write them all down. Then they draw a ride out of a hat, and they run that ride focusing on this technique that they identified.
Yes.
They're all going to have set up.
Fine.
That's okay?
That's okay.
Excellent.
That's actually kind of why I was thinking about having three techniques up on the board, because then they wouldn't be just doing setup. They would be doing setup and obviously.
Oh, so not one, but three that they got this on.
I was thinking about one, but I think it would be really easy, especially on the simpler games, on the rides 1 through 6. It's pretty easy to say, okay, we set it up. We've got three cups. You know, like that's. But hopefully, what they'll see is stuff like, you know, in threes, and make you say no.
Right, because they're gonna have to choose three, and then each bucket's gonna run those three techniques.
Right,
Sky.
I guess it's for a little later. In the discussion.
What is it?
Well, it's just as far as like the hunting part of it, building up their hunting skills. I mean, right now we kind of have it as, you know, everyone has to hunt. You know, that's putting a lot of pressure on some of them. Some of them are more inclined to hunt than others. And so we could use this basically as a bucket brigade up to hunting with David.
Yeah.
You know, like instead of bucket speeding up to Shirley, you know, bucket speed up to David during the hunt. And, you know, if there's something that you have and you have a setup for it and you want to hunt, then sit up to the table with the master, you know, while they're doing these rides and refreshing the setup.
And then his job would be not necessarily to give them the new move, but to really improve their technique about how they were setting it up.
Yeah, be their angle.
Prepping them for Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Because that'll keep you out of the position of being the single point of failure, and give them all the tools that they're needing to hunt. Yeah, well, or a better idea, not all of them, but a better idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, because hunting is a little bit different than the actual learning and all the techniques that go with learning.
You mean like just when you're playing the game but not hunting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's that's mm-hmm. right. It's two separate.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of come to that. I mean, it's true that people come to that conclusion that there are sort of two games going on.
Yeah.
There's the techniques that you use. Well. There's a game you play using all the techniques when you hunt, and then you play a different game using all the techniques when you push.
That sounds weird.
I know.
When you say it that way. Because you're using the same techniques.
Right.
When you're using both, but just the way the game goes down is different.
Mm-hmm.
When the person you're playing with knows the language but doesn't know the game, as opposed to when the other person knows the game but doesn't know the language.
Right.
Or when the other person knows neither the language nor the game, but the game, but you know both.
Right.
The last two are kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty similar. But the last one, like, you use all the same techniques, but you just use them. The way the game plays out is different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're in charge of it's like when you're teaching to someone who doesn't know the game, you're in charge of controlling the flow of the bite-sized piece.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're hunting, you're in charge of controlling the flow of the bite-sized piece you take on. But it's a different control on the valve. You know, when you're hunting and Shirley starts throwing stuff at you, you're kind of like fighting against the current to go, shut it off! And when you're teaching, you're kind of like, well, here's the whole flow. Oh, you're not getting it? I'll go ahead and turn it off from the source. So that way that student isn't
mm-hmm.
fighting that to grab the valve. And they're just, yeah, they're just different. But that is the way to get them to hunt. Then go to David, getting prepped, and then...
Hold on, I missed this.
You're the master. You're Bruce Lee.
What?
Well, you're Chuck Norris, I guess.
Who's this?
I don't understand.
Well, because Bruce Lee taught Chuck Norris.
No.
So, okay, so anyways.
So Bruce Lee taught Chuck Norris, okay? Let's just get
okay.
that out on the screen
right.
right here, okay?
You can be Chuck.
Let's start there.
You be Chuck.
$3 Chuck.
So, as the kids are doing this with, like, watching you, writing down the techniques, going to the buckets, we treat, like, you know, you as you at the table with Shirley the same way we do with the bucket brigades where we have the bus stop. You know, someone walks in the room, they go Ishimashi Ushu to the next table and then up to that final table with Shirley. So with hunting, like, is we could use it the same way as, like, with you at that final table. So they start off, like, looking at what techniques you used, applying that to the rides that they have, and then once they have something that they want to hunt, and then they go up to you, and you can, like, angel them through it or help them with their setup or, you know, just pull them through it. And instead of, like, with how the hunts we're having now is, like, you know, everyone hunts, you know. You better have something write your name on the board, and that's putting a lot of pressure on some of them. Some of them not so much, but still it would give them some direction and take a lot of the pressure off while still leaving hunting as an option for them to do, instead of just, like, cutting it off and saying, you're not ready to hunt. It's, like, giving them that kind of, you know, control over.
And, like, when you and Walter were going through the game and then suddenly realized it had holes, and Shirley was already gone. But if we had it set up where everyone else went off and started working through those games, and Shirley was still in the room, then when those holes came up, we'd be like, oh, I wonder if you can put this away, to get this way. We'd have to ask Shirley. Oh, hey, we'll go ask Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
So then that will make for more robust rides more quickly.
And it'd be better at first if they went to you, because, and then kind of hunted you.
And if I don't have it, which I probably won't.
Right. But you're going to do a different thing than you would. Like, we're not treating you as Shirley. We're treating you as the guy who really knows where are your keys. So they come hunt you first, and then you go, okay, I see what you're going for here, but you're going to need to, like, change your setup and try this and go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, now go hunt.
Mm-hmm. That's a brilliant idea. It's a great idea.
Because then you're also not being set up as the guy who knows Numo.
Which is a wonderful plan.
Right. And so you're being set up as the guy who is the sort of, like, yes, your ducks are in a row, I authorize you to go hunting. You know?
That sounds really bad. Here's your elder hunting license.
Alright, I gotta say it. Check it. Elder hunting license. I'm sorry, I got it.
Grandma's using his open.
We're all going to hell.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's a great idea.
So where will I be?
In hell.
Oh, before that.
Jesus loves me.
Yeah, but dirty little secret.
So
I think you'll be floating.
Floating, okay.
I think you'll be floating, and kids will be doing their bestest to try to, you know, little example. So there's let's say the two of us, and we have we're doing Ishimashu Ushu, and we are working on those top three techniques, and so we're going to be setting up our ride, and we're going to be playing, and then we're going to go to a point where we can't continue, and then we go, David, we have a hole. And then you're going to come over, and you're going to be like, okay, show me. And then
set up.
We're going to try and set it up. And then we're going to try, and that really is going to be that how you're walking up to the table. Set me up.
Set me up.
Set me up. Don't waste my time. You know, like, maybe that's a good catchphrase, too. Don't waste my time. I'm a busy man. Set me up.
I'm a busy man. Pennies.
Pennies. Yeah. I really like, April, how you did that today. Like, John did something, and you were like, oh, I'm distraction. And then he was like, oh, yeah, sorry. And you're like, pennies.
Oh, was that before or after I told him I was going to punch him in his face? I did turn to him.
Maybe that's more effective than pennies. Pennies, yeah, whatever.
Technique threats of others.
Because I think
language accelerator.
Because he only did that this morning, but I think he also realized that, like, I mean, I was like, holy shit, like, I filled up. You know, like, I was like, oh my god, I'm getting sick, and I got like 4 hours of sleep last night. you know, and I think he caught on to that pretty quick. Like, somebody was like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't feel good. And then he totally backed down.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, it's like, he thinks it's a joke. And to a teenage boy, it is. But that's really what you know, is a great way to walk up to the table. Set me up. Pennies. Pennies, people. I'm a busy man. Give them that kind of, like, you know, kind of keep the energy of the thing kind of pushing.
Okay. So what is Shirley doing? Just chatting with Verlaine? Or Gerald? Mm-hmm.
Yep, they're off in the corner.
Okay. Okay, so then I have an extension, a possible extension.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have them in these buckets. They've just ran the ride. They're still sitting there with their partner. So then at that point, then to give them the next instruction, which would be, okay, now plan a ride. And here we have Chuck Norris, and, you know, and then just, I mean, and just, you know, segue, because I think that's what's happening is all these choppy things, and it's all, and I keep forgetting to talk about this, but it's these questions that, and I've been guilty of it too, but it's like, okay, what do you guys want to do? Yeah. And then I've just been saying, we can't, they don't know, you know?
Stop asking them.
Yeah. That's right. That's,
they don't know.
They don't know. We can't, there's too many options. It's like, it's like in the same breath going, full check, are you full?
Yeah.
How full are you?
Yeah, don't worry if you're completely full right now. Full check?
And that would be another thing too, is like, don't limit to, like, I mean, if they come and they say, I want to hunt orange, be like, go hunt orange. You know? Like, I don't think we need to set a parameter when they do this practice thing. What do you guys think? Mm-hmm. Because you know what I'm saying? Like how we just jumped so quick from hunting colors to now go hunt blue words, and then it seemed to me like that's when our progress kind of started going.
No, you're really right. I mean, there was a danger there, though, too, that they were just going to keep on hunting shades of
teeth. Totally. No, I totally agree. But, like, okay, so where is the middle between nouns and such and glue words? Like, where is the progression? Because it's like we just went nouns, and then here is...
Right. We, you know, it's almost like, okay, next time when we do this, I almost feel like if we give... if we give our neighbors bigger speakers, like if we give the kids, like each kid, when we organize hunts like this, we give them like 3 tickets or something like that. They're like, you know, A rides at Disneyland. They're just really super simple.
Yeah.
But they're something so that we can hunt something. To get them used to that. Because no, we don't need pink. And honestly, now that we have pink, they've forgotten it. They're not using it. They got it. They felt good about it. It's
like sheesh away.
It's back now.
We have revitalized pink.
So maybe like some sort of like ticket system or like free rides or something to get them hunting, and then. That Dutsu, Babatyu, Babatsu, like that kind of stuff, that's really good. This level stuff to hunt. You know, that those sort of comparison things.
Yeah, but I mean, like, today we were even, like, using it to hunt, God, I can't remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, Dutsu.
Right, because those will get you mileage.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, at Latin, me and my big glass.
Uh-huh.
I got mileage out of that big glass because it was ridiculous. And as I was walking around there, I heard people yelling, or like people from across the room. That's the biggest glass I've ever seen. And so I got est and ever.
Wow.
And then all I needed was never, and then I had never ever. And then I needed for like smaller, bigger, small s to biggest.
Huh.
But just in that one sentence, and I walked around that first night, and about 3 people threw it at me. And I knew what I was looking for because I had the biggest glass they'd ever seen. How big is it? It was huge. it was like this big. I had a fishbowl. And then a couple of days later,
filled it with wine every night.
No, drained it every night. Water.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 days later, I found a wine glass. It was this tall, and it was like this big. It was like one of those ridiculous, like, you know, happy anniversary sort of glass, like this ridiculous thing. So I had my water glass and my wine glass.
And he walked around with his pinky out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so that's what I got. Mm-hmm. So, but that kind of stuff is easy to hunt, and it gets you tons of mileage.
And it got John thinking about, like, so we have these words that are this way, but I think this language might have a different, like, thing for talking about this sort of size versus this kind of size. And so then he was thinking about, like, how might Numu do this? And that is kind of a little bit more trying to figure out Numu than how does Numu say pink?
Yes.
But then jumping to the glue words also halted that curiosity.
Right. I would take ownership of that one. Yeah, definitely. That was too much. I was worried that they were just going to keep on going down the road of pinks and teals.
Mm-hmm.
But by saying what we need is blue words, that did start charting. But maybe we go back and say, you know, John, do you know how all of that stuff works? Bigger, big est, wider, smaller, fatter, skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all those.
God, yeah, I wonder how that plays in.
And that's what we wanted to do.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a thing.
So error on my part.
Okay. But you just got another, and then so awesome moment. This is kind of like, right. So this is one of those things where it's like, they don't know any different. We haven't explained to them a progression. So I think that's something that also needs to be established in our planning, because there's a hole, you know? Like, because like with the group agreements, when I was like, okay, we're going to learn something different. You know, these aren't rules or consequences. These are agreements. And they were still trying to do the rules and consequences. So it's like, in their heads, for some reason, nouns are the way to go. And until we keep at it, you know, somehow, I mean, that's what we've been kind of doing, but something happened where it stalled us.
Yeah. Well, because one thing,
well, it was the glue words. That's what
it did. Okay. And putting a parameter around it and saying that we need these.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a genius or anything.
Yeah.
But I couldn't even do it.
Right.
And I got frustrated and was like, I'm done with that. This is bullshit.
Right. No. Sorry, Charlie.
I think you talked a lot about the structure.
That's fascinating.
How, like, you want to find the structure of the language, and that's what we really want to look for. But I know what you mean. Because I know that language is tentacle structures. I don't think these kids probably do. Like if they probably just took Spanish at some point in school, maybe briefly.
But they don't understand that it has a different structure.
They don't get that structure happens
until here.
It's all just English, really. Yeah. And so so Numu does it flops. The verb and the thing compared to English. So it's like thing, verb instead of thing, verb, thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter has been having a really hard time with that.
Mm.
Where he just continues, he continues to say, like, you know, verb and then throw the thing at the end. And finally today, he said, I can't. It was me, I think. He was trying to do me. So he looked at it and he said this thing. And I said, your English brain is screwing with you. Some such, me. And he was like, oh, right. And then he had it after that. And then once we said it, and I could tell it was coming naturally to him now.
Uh-huh.
But, like,
the sheer degree to which languages have completely different name structures, just people don't, they have no idea, because they've never experienced that if they've only dealt with English,
right,
or things that are relatively structurally similar to English. And so when we said, like, yeah, we want to look for structure, I was saying that, as soon as I heard you say that, I had that all over, like, yeah, let's figure out the structure. I'm like, well, what structure of language? What are you talking about? So, you know what I would really like to do sometime soon? Is, have, like, a massive one have give take game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can get everybody really solid through one have give take, and also, should be the equipment we need, then we could have, like an extreme game where we just have everybody kind of in a circle. We have a bunch of stuff, and then we just start swiping and bartering and arguing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, haga noga atsakuhi shikwa.
Mm-hmm.
No, I said, oh,
mm-hmm,
mashu umi atsakuhi gwel. Like,
mm-hmm,
ya aduga. And then, like, haga noga atsakuhi gwel. Well, na mashu umi atsakuhi gwel mi'i, but Kai should be the quit. Like, we could do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's this thing with not using, like, pretend money.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be wanting to barter and all this stuff with, like, little fake weehees.
Or get them to bring something from home.
Get them to bring something from home.
That's actually theirs.
That's something that they would, be down to barter, you know? Maybe, you know, so we bring in a new basketball. You bring a hacky sack.
Yeah.
I go buy another $10 volleyball. Brand new or something, you know?
Okay, here's a small issue with that. Okay. We have an opportunity right there to bring in 10 new nouns.
Yeah.
If we set it up, there'll be a few of their favorite things.
Yes.
If we set it up poorly, it'll be a few of the things that they do not want anymore and don't care about.
Which isn't the point.
Right.
But then again, they say some people's trash is another person's treasure.
True. And then I'll be like, remember that time when you tried to pawn that sticky note off on me for $10? Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we really want to do this right, then it would have to be like that. And I mean, because... And this is just something that, like, I learned from you guys. It's like, you know, it's the whole be here now, and you don't, you know, like, you can only pretend to a certain point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
and
to make it actually real.
Yeah.
Like, no, do we really want to barter with fake little cups and...
No. I think that's perfectly good. I mean, at the risk of bringing in a noun that's useless... The be here now factor is so much more important.
And why not make it like, you know, an every Friday thing, like we were going to do Haga for the next 4 weeks. And as it progresses, you know, people are going to get more ideas about, like, oh, I had that at home. Or I bet they would love this. And to include Shirley and see what she would bring in.
Oh.
And Gerald and Curly.
Urban Scout, Peter, did this thing that was pretty cool, and it's kind of like this. What he would do is when he would teach people Chuck, he would lay out a blanket, and he had this little cardboard sign that he made, and it said, Urban Scout Trading Post. Because he really ran the colors and numbers game. He ran the colors and numbers game like nobody else. And so, he would have Urban Scout Training Post. And he'd lay out things, and then people, you know, as he was teaching them, that's what he was trying to do, is get them to the point where they could beg, borrow, steal. There's a couple of words that we don't have yet, like for. And I don't know if you have you...
We hunted for it.
Yeah.
And what she seemed to be comfortable doing, and I don't know if she was just trying to simplify this for us, But what it really seemed like she wanted to do was just na umim hi shikwet. Uha naga sida shikwet danamido.
Danamido.
Ya'a, and then we would say ya'a wihi ya'a sida.
There was no.
Yeah.
And then, well, then the next thing is like how much? Like how much?
I think we can kind of already do that. Sort of.
Well, how much is that doggy in the window?
Hanoko udara shikwet.
It would be awesome. I would barter for Leanne's pillows. You know? And we could even make that an end of the year thing where we barter for the meadow signs and for the, you know. I want the Ord signs.
Oh, that's great.
I want the Ord sign.
Like, how much you want to give me for it?
Exactly. Exactly, now that we know.
Actually, I hate it.
Yeah,
I
know you don't. I'll go see you. I'll be like... I'll just walk around the room with the lighter and just watch her and see what she wants.
Warmer. In China, never walk into a store looking like you want to buy something.
Nope, don't give a shit about anything you buy. Burn the whole place down.
No, there's this practice look of disdain that you have to get going where you're kind of just like, Like this kind of face when you go in and you're looking at stuff, you're kind of like,
Disappointed. Yeah, the quality, the selection. Your store sucks.
Which is why I'm only going to pay you 3 times what this thing is worth.
Well, that sounds like a darn good plan there, I gotta say. Well done. Go Tink.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Where Your Keys, Summer Institute of Play, Warm Springs, Oregon. Fairies will die. This is war. Stay tuned for future podcasts and the continuing story. The drama, the intensity, the laughter. Where are your keys?